This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, this week we continue a message we actually started last week from the first 7 verses of the book of 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter of the Bible. And we looked at love on Mother's Day that particular year. On Father's Day, we pick it up at verse 8 and finish the chapter on the eternal quality of love. Did you know that love is the permanent thing in your life? You may have thought your education was permanent. It's not. You may have thought your experience and your job skills, your resume is permanent. It's not. But love is permanent. Love is eternal. Well, it is Father's Day. I like to begin with something for fathers. Richard Louv was a newspaper reporter. He writes this out of his book called Childhood's Future. When we raise our children, we relive our childhood. Forgotten memories, painful or pleasurable, rise to the surface. A lost ball recalls another lost ball 20 years ago. The smell of cedar wood brings forth the memory of another Christmas. The burial of a pet brings back the memories of another lost pet. When we hear ourselves raise our voices at our children, it raises the memories of our parents raising their voices, or worse, in our childhood. We are daily comparing our childhood with the childhood of our children. And then he's as a reporter, went to schools all over his area of the country asking children, what is it you want the most from your parents? He said 76% of them said, I want more time with my mom or dad. 76%, 3 out of 4, wanted more time with mom or dad. Let that speak to you today. But I use that as a springboard for today to ask every father and mother, every adult, every young person, what's your legacy going to be? You may not be sure what the word legacy means. I'm convinced there's a lot of words we use that people have an idea of what it means. I have a semblance of what it means, but they're not sure. A legacy doesn't necessarily have to do with money that you leave to someone else. A legacy is anything that's important that you leave to the next generation, to your children. A legacy can be what you believe. It can be your example. It can be words of wisdom. It can be your spiritual life. And I want to ask you the question, what is your legacy going to be? And I'm going to suggest to you a way today that you can have in your life a legacy that matters, that you pass on as a man or woman, as a father or mother, as just as an individual, to the next generation. It's a legacy that really counts and really matters, and it's based in the Word of God. It's from 1 Corinthians 13. You say, well, Randy, you preached out of that chapter on Mother's Day. I did the first 7 verses, but I saved verses 8 through 13 for today, for Father's Day. So if you'll follow as I read from 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 8, the love chapter of the Bible, Paul says this, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Here's the verse to write down in your heart. Here's your legacy. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. We'll continue this message tomorrow. That's crosshope.org.
When Annie and I ministered in Columbus there for 18 years, there was a controversial newspaper writer. His name was Mike Harden. I remember one time in the sermon, I just mentioned Mike's name from the pulpit, and people started groaning, like, oh, don't quote Mike Harden, because of some of his controversial views. But Mike Harden is a great writer. great writer, and I want you to listen to a piece he wrote years ago that fits for Father's Day, and it fits this passage of Scripture. Frank and Mary Steger are at a hospital with congestive heart failure in Columbus, and here's what he writes. In sickness and in health, I thought, Frank and Mary were supposed to be preparing for a vacation in Florida, not holding on to one another in the cardiac care unit at a Columbus hospital. Help me sit up, he whispers. Help me sit up. In the end, love comes down to this. Help me sit up. In the end, love is not the smoldering glance across a crowded dance floor. Love isn't the clink of crystal over a dinner. It's not a leisurely picnic spread upon summer's clover. In the end, love is the squeeze of a hand. I'm here, and I'll be here no matter how long the fight. Even when the thing you want the most is to close your eyes and be done with it all. Water? You need water? Here, drink. Let me straighten your pillow. When all is said and done, love is not rapture and fire. It is a hand steadier than one's own, squeezing harder than a heartbeat. Wine changes back to water. Roses no longer come with love messages, but with best wishes for a quick recovery. Terms of endearment become the simple administrations. In the end, love is the simple thing. In the end, love is the simple thing. I want to talk to you about a legacy that really matters. I'm going to cut to the chase, as they say. I've used that expression before, by talking about two things out of this passage. Let's bring up verse 8 that says, love never fails. Can you think of anything in your life that you can describe in that way? Have you ever owned a car that never failed? You ever had a house that never had a problem? Have you ever had a job where there was no problems? Have you ever had a friendship where there were no problems? Any relationship on this earth where there weren't problems? Of course not. And yet Paul says there's one thing in life that never fails. I'm interested in word meanings. I want to know, what does that word fail mean? I found out it can mean one of two things. The word fail in the Greek can mean to describe when a leaf falls off the tree. It can mean when a flower falls off the stem. Love will never fall from the tree. And love never falls off the stem. It's eternal. I found out another meaning of the word fail to mean something that loses its power, loses its energy. Love never loses its power, whether you're 8 years old or 80 years old. Love has power in your life as a child. It has power in your life as an adult. And it has power in your life the day you die. Because love never fails, especially the love of God. Remember that. Here's the legacy I want to leave with you today that I want you to leave in your life. And let's bring up the first one. It comes out of the last verse. We're to have a faith that overcomes doubt. I want you to notice something about that sentence. It doesn't say faith eliminates doubt. It doesn't. You may be the strongest believer in this worship center today, but you will still have doubts if you're honest. There are times of doubt you have as a Christian. Faith doesn't eliminate doubt. Faith overcomes it, and there's a difference. John talks about how our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If it overcomes the world, it overcomes my own doubts.
Well, Cross Hope continues tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org.
Faith doesn't eliminate doubt. Faith overcomes it. And there's a difference. John talks about how our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If it overcomes the world, it overcomes my own doubts. Those of you that doubt, you have intellectual doubts about Christianity. I always tell people this. If it's intellectual to doubt, listen carefully. It's intellectual to doubt your doubts. Would you listen to that again? If you're an intellectual person and you believe in doubting everything that comes down the pike, that's fine. But it's also intellectual to doubt your doubts. But the great legacy you can leave today to your family is my dad, my mom, my brother, my sister had a faith that overcame doubt in their life. Do you have a faith in your life that's your legacy? You're leaving a will or leaving money in your will, and you're leaving a house, you're leaving a car to so-and-so, that may be great. Doesn't measure up at all to a faith that you can leave as a legacy that overcame doubt. Let's bring up the second one. We're to have a hope that overcomes despair. hope that overcomes despair. Hope doesn't eliminate despair. I've got news for you. If you live on this earth, you will have moments of despair. You will have. Nobody's exempt from despair. Nobody gets a pass that says you're exempt from despair in life. Everybody goes through moments and days and maybe weeks or months of despair. But hope in Jesus Christ overcomes the despair. It has victory over the despair. I'm embarrassed actually to tell you this, but for years I used to say something at funeral homes that I thought was real intellectual, real profound when I was a younger minister. There would be a tragic death and a young person maybe was killed in an accident or something. And I would be standing at the funeral home with people either in the funeral home or outside. And I would say, yes, death is the ultimate reality. And people say, that's right, Randy. Death is the ultimate reality. And one day the Lord convicted me. That's stupid. It's almost the Lord said, that is the stupidest thing I ever heard of. What convicted my spirit? Death isn't the ultimate reality. Jesus Christ is. He's the ultimate reality. And it was like a light going off. Jesus was the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the ultimate reality. Not my brilliant statement that death is the ultimate reality. Christ is. Hope that overcomes despair. The third one I want to bring up is your lasting legacy is this, a love that overcomes hatred. Love doesn't eliminate hatred. You will experience hatred. You will have hatred in your family. You will have hatred in your work sphere of influence. You will experience hatred in your neighborhood. Everybody does. You know what? You may be surprised to find out someday the people that you thought liked you really disliked you very much. No raising of hands, please. But you know, in other words, you may find out later on in life, you know, that guy never liked you at all. She thought you were the worst. But love is the only thing I know of that overcomes hatred. What does that mean? The only antidote against hatred is not more hatred. Well, I'll hate him more than he hates me. I'll hate her more than she hates me. The only antidote is the love of God. It's the only thing that can overcome hatred. Is the love of Christ and the love of God. I believe that with all my heart.
Well, if you're a podcast listener, you need to know that our messages are on iTunes. Just put the word Cross Hope in the search bar and you can find our podcast messages. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and we hope you listen tomorrow to Cross Hope.
I want to read a passage to you out of 1 John that talks about this, and we're going to read it from the Message translation, if we can bring that up, 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Listen to that again. Whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is love. The only antidote for hatred is the love of God in your life. Personally, the only antidote for hatred in your marriage is the love of God. The only antidote for hatred in your family, your extended family, is the love of God. The more you love the Lord and the more you love other people, you overcome hatred in your life. I want to share just two quick things with you. Vaudi Baucham is an author who has written about the family and faith in family. He said, the other day I looked at my teenage daughter while we were walking through the mall. Suddenly, I found myself choked up as I thought about how much time was behind us compared to the amount of time ahead of us. I just cried out to God and prayed, Lord, help me to make most of the time I have left with my daughter. Somebody needs to pray that prayer today with your son. Lord, help me to make the most of the time I've got left with my son. Lord, help me to make the most of the time I have left with my daughter or daughters. Lord, help me to make the most of the time that I have left on this earth. Why? Because the only three great lasting qualities in life our faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This surprised people in the first service when I said this, but because it just hits you hard, but it's true. There will be no faith in heaven. There will be no hope in heaven. Why? Because we have it. Faith, we live by faith, not by sight in this day and age. And someday our faith will turn into sight and our hope will turn into experience. It will be what we're experiencing all the time. So faith and hope will disappear in heaven. But you know the one thing that will continue is your love. Your love for God and your love for people. I'm convinced people say, Randy, what do you take with you to heaven? Two things. Your love for God and your love for your family and love for people. I really believe that's the only thing you take with you. You don't take anything physically. You don't take anything financial. You don't take any legal documents with you to heaven. You don't take your diplomas with you. You don't take your resume with you. The only thing you take to heaven is your love for the Lord and your love for people, love for your family. That will go with you. I understand in 1849, when the California Gold Rush was taking place, if you went to a place called St. Joseph, Missouri, which I understand is near St. Louis, 1849 is the year, on the west end of Main Street, St. Joseph, Missouri, as you're leaving town to go to California, there were hundreds of wagon wheel ruts in the dirt because of all the wagons going west to California. Someone put a sign over West Main Street as you're going west out of St. Joe, Missouri, and here's what it said. Choose your rut carefully. You may be in it all the way to California. Choose your rut carefully. You may be in it all the way to California. I'm asking you to choose your legacy carefully because it is going to go with you. Nobody says this, I don't have a legacy to give. Everybody has a legacy.
Well, if that statement's true, it begs the question, what legacy are you and I leaving for the generation behind us? Our website is crosshope.org.
Jeanette Clift was the actress who portrayed Corrie ten Boom in the movie The Hiding Place. If you saw that movie years ago, Jeanette Clift was the actress who played her. Jeanette Clift does not like to fly. She hates flying. She said, have you ever tried to kneel in an airplane seat with a seatbelt on to pray? She says, it's not very pretty. She said, I just hate flying. She was on a flight, I think she said, from New York City to Los Angeles. And even though it was a long flight, she said it was turbulent the entire way. The flight attendants couldn't serve the meal, couldn't serve anything. Everyone was just batten down in their seats. She had a window seat. Sitting next to her was a young mother with a little girl, maybe 18 months to 2 years old. She explained to Corrie that they were on their way back to LA to see Dad. They'd been gone visiting relatives on the East Coast, and they were going home to see Dad. The little girl was wearing, Jeanette Clift said, a white pinafore dress. Her hair was fixed. She was beautiful, beautiful little girl. Every man that walked down the aisle, this little girl would say, Daddy, Daddy, thinking her dad was coming any minute. The trip was so turbulent and there was so much up and down in the flight. I'll just clean this up as much as possible. The little girl got very sick. And to put it simply, the little girl was a mess by the end of the flight, just covered. And they did their best to clean her up, but to no avail. They pulled up to the, on the tarmac, they pulled up to the gate, and this was before 9/11, when families could come to the gate. And Jeanette Clift said she looked out the window of the plane and she saw a man standing there with a white shirt, white pair of slacks, and a bouquet of flowers. And she said, I know who that is. That's Dad. And I know what'll happen. She said, I'm going to follow them to see what happens. I know Dad will take one look at this little girl and he'll keep on going saying, that's not my kid, because she was such a mess. And Corrie ten Boom said she followed that young mother and the little girl into the gateway and down all the way to baggage claim. And she said that father took that little girl and he hugged her and kissed her. And all the way to baggage claim, he kept saying over and over, Daddy's baby came home. Daddy's baby came home. And Jeanette Clift said something very profound. She said, where did I ever get the idea that God, my father, loves me less than a young father with white shirt, white slacks, and a bouquet of flowers? He doesn't. And Jeanette Clift said this, and it's so powerful. She said, when you believe in the person of Jesus Christ, you belong. When you believe in the person of Jesus Christ, you belong and you behave and you become. Why? Because you are beloved. You are beloved. Loving is all about coming home, isn't it? Loving your mom and your dad is all about going home. And loving God is all about going home to be with the Father. To be absent from this body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. It's all about going home to the Father. If you know Christ, Jeanette Cliff said it this way, you belong, you behave, and you become. Why? Because you're beloved. You're beloved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word today. Thank you for speaking to us through 1 Corinthians 13. Paul never meant these words to be on a plaque. He meant them to be in our hearts. He never wrote these words under the guidance of the Holy Spirit just to be read as a sentimental passage to be read at a wedding. He meant it to be written on the tablets of our hearts and carved in stone, so to speak, in our lives. That these words echo exactly what we are and who we claim to be. Because we recognize the great equation in life is this: anything minus love equals zero, nothing.
And our website is crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.